I want to talk about something that really hits home for me personally, having been raised in a home believing that I was a Palestinian, born to a Palestinian mother and an Egyptian father. It wasn't until many years later, after coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and reading God's word, that I learned the truth. And the truth is that there's no such thing as a Palestinian. And this is what I want to talk about today, namely the illegitimacy of the Palestinians and as such their illegitimate claim to Jerusalem. If you'll kindly hear me out, I want to argue the case and provide what I believe is irrefutable evidence that proves that there is no such thing as a Palestinian, nor is there such a thing as a Palestinian state. I want to explain to you how the name Palestine came about, why the land was named Palestine, and how the so-called Palestinian cause, as it's referred to, came about. I also want to explain what's really behind all of the satanic rhetoric, and that's what it is, concerning Jerusalem. And perhaps more importantly, I want to explain why this even matters to us today. I'm going to begin with this Breaking Israel news article about how the White House had criticized Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas for his comments against the U.S. recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, saying that such rhetoric has, quote, prevented peace for decades. The U.S. rebuke came after Abbas stated Wednesday that the Palestinians would refuse any future U.S. involvement in the peace process and threatened that there will be, listen to this, quote, no peace or stability, peace and security, in the region until Jerusalem is recognized as the Palestinian capital. Abbas's comments came during Wednesday's meeting of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation in Istanbul, a gathering initiated by Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan in response to Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. On Friday, the Times of Israel published a report about how Erdogan added to the threats from Abbas with his own threats that the Muslim nations will seek UN annulment of Trump's Jerusalem move. I just caught on my newsfeed this morning that they're actually already moving within the UN to annul this declaration by the U.S. president a week and a half ago. His comments followed Wednesday's summit of Muslim and Arab nations, the 57-member Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which declared, get this, East Jerusalem, the capital of Palestine, and urged the world to recognize the state of Palestine. Erdogan, who regards himself, interesting, a champion of the Palestinian cause, denounced Israel at the Wednesday OIC summit as a state defined by, and I quote, occupation and terror. Israel. Occupation, and they are occupying land belonging to the Palestinian. And they are the terrorists. They are the Jews. They are the. Does that remind you at all of what Isaiah said about a curse to those who call evil good and good evil? And Well, I'm going to get ahead of myself here. Somebody needs to let Erdogan know about this Jews news article on Wednesday titled, "Oops, Arab historian admits there is no Palestinian people." I actually watched this video, which this article is about. And this Arab, in my native tongue of Arabic, it does have the English subtitles. I mean, it is stunning. He basically goes on to speak the truth. They aren't Palestinians. There's no such thing as a Palestinian. They're Egyptians. By the way, Yasser Arafat, he was an Egyptian. Did you know that? He's not a Palestinian. He was an Egyptian, like my dad, who was born in Alexandria, Egypt. He's an Egyptian. Well, anyway, let me quote this amazing article, which really should be read in its entirety. "One of the biggest, most stubborn, and costliest untruths of our time is the notion that the jihad waged by Arabs in the Palestinian Authority and Gaza against Jews in Israel is a national struggle of an indigenous people for independence. No matter the facts, the lie persists to the tune of billions of dollars in international aid and political prestige, which makes it increasingly difficult for anyone involved to admit that the whole thing is nothing more than a propaganda stunt. Before the Balfour Promise, when the Ottoman rule 1517 to 1917 ended, Palestine's political borders as we know them today did not exist. And there was nothing called a Palestinian people with a political identity as we know today," historian Abd al-Ghani admitted on official PA TV on November 1st. In 1917, says this Arab historian, "there was no such thing as a Palestinian people. The statement amounts to saying that the whole narrative of an indigenous Palestinian people was made up at a later point in time. As Hamas Minister of the Interior and of National Security Fathi Hamad, speaking on Al-Hakma TV, said in March 2012, quote, "Brothers, half of the Palestinians are Egyptians and the other half are Saudis. Who are the Palestinians? We have many families called Al-Masri." Masri in Arabic means Egyptian. "Whose roots are Egyptian." Egyptian! "They may be from Alexandria, from Cairo. We are Egyptians. There is a reason why the Palestinian National Museum is empty of historical artifacts." I actually wanted to bring it, I ran out of time. I saw this post on Facebook, a picture of people standing in a museum and staring at blank white walls. And down below it said, "The Palestinian Historical Archaeological Museum." They're looking at nothing. There's nothing there. Here's another book that I've recommended in the past. It is the best, not one of the best books I have ever read. It was really, for me, it's so eye-opening. I have to warn you, though, it's not a book that you enjoy reading. It's a book that you endure reading, for me personally, because, you know, I was taught to believe I was Palestinian. I had to put the book down, actually throw it down, and just walk away. I was just so horrified. It's one of the most, I believe, well-documented books there is on this Palestinian myth. It's written by Ramon Bennett. You can get it on Amazon. It's titled Philistine, The Great Deception. And I just want to share with you from this amazing book. In 130 A.D., The Romans renamed Jerusalem Aella Capitolina after the emperor Aelius Hadrianus and the god Jupiter Capitolinus. The Romans kept Aella Capitolina as their name for Jerusalem and renamed the promised land Syria Palestina. The renaming of the land was an overt effort to eradicate the Jewish connection. After the Muslim conquest of Palestina in the 7th century AD, the name Aella Capitolina gradually faded from use. And in due process of time, Palestina, the Latin form of Philistia, the land of the ancient Philistines, was anglicized into Palestine. That's how the name came about. The land was never named Palestine because it belonged to the Palestinians. It was named Palestine because of the Romans and subsequently the Muslims, who chiefly did so in order to eradicate any signs of Jewish history or claims to Jerusalem. We talked about this. I won't go into this. We talked about this last week. Again, Jerusalem, not one time in the Quran. Not one time in the Quran. Now, it's important to understand that the ancient Philistines are in fact extinct. There are no Philistines alive today. That is a fact. And don't take my word for it. Be like the Bereans and you search and you see and you'll find if what I am speaking to you today and the evidence that I'm providing for you today is true. They no longer exist. And it's evidenced by numerous things like the absence of any coinage or even language. They speak Arabic. Why? Because they're Arabs. That's why they speak Arabic. These are Arab people. So what do you consider yourself to be? Well, if you call me a Palestinian, fine, but I see Palestinian as synonymous with Arab, and the Arab is a melting pot of many people groups, the Edomites, Moabites, all of the ites. These are Arabs. And by the way, there is a distinction between the Arab and the Egyptian. Egyptians don't really like to be called Arabs, they're Egyptians. And I think the best illustration, well, unless you can give me a better one, is using dogs. You know, the purebred German Shepherd, Australian Shepherd, that is a purebred, and that's what we call them. But then you have these mixed breeds, and we call them mutts. Somebody told me the Hawaiian name for it. I don't remember. What is it? Hoi? Hoi dog. Oh, poi, like poi. Wow. Well, there you go. So that's what the Arab is, a poi dog, a mixed breed. It's a mixture of all kinds of different people groups. But the Egyptian is the purebred. So technically, I'm half Egyptian and half Arab. And my poor kids don't know what they are. They're half Irish, half something else. Anyway, I digress. About 20 years ago now, a Jewish brother in my church on the mainland let me borrow some of his. He had this amazing Life magazine collection, and he let me have some of the ones from back in the 1940s, and I scanned in the main articles that related to the rebirth of the nation of Israel back in May of 1948. And if you'll permit me, I want to quote from some of these very interesting articles, and I do so to provide you with further evidence of the Palestinian myth, or if you prefer, the Palestinian lie. The first article is simply titled Palestine, and it was published on August 19th, 1946, just shy of 2 years before the rebirth of Israel as a nation. Quote, "So, what of a Jewish state? The Arabs, Arabs, regard it as an exotic movement, internationally financed, artificially stimulated, holding no hope of ultimate or permanent success. Oh, I guess they were wrong. This one is titled The Palestine Problem, and it was published on February 16, 1948. The UN had decided that all Palestine should be divided into three parts: a Jewish state, an Arab state, and an internationalized Jerusalem. The UN stands back of the decision, but so far back that from the Mount of Olives, around which is being spilled the blood of Arabs and Jews, its blue banner is almost invisible. Any move to revise would, of course, be a serious blow to UN prestige. Moreover, it would probably increase the fighting. Stalin could then maneuver over to the side of the fanatical ex-Grand Mufti and try to stir up the whole Arab world. This could be disastrous to the U.S., the U.N., and 800,000 Jews in Arab lands. I'm emphasizing for a reason, and I'm hoping that you notice the conspicuous absence of any mention of Palestinians. Not once do they say the Palestinians, they say the Arabs. Why is there no mention of Palestinians in the articles? Well, because there were no Palestinians in the land. They're going to manufacture now the Palestinian Liberation Organization vis-a-vis one Yasser Arafat. That's coming. It is a well-documented fact that the Jews never forced them out. That's their answer. Oh, well, the Jews forced them out. No, they didn't. There were no Palestinians to force out in the first place. Oh, interesting. Pre-statehood 1948. Fast forward to 1967, the miraculous Six-Day War when Israel recaptured their eternal capital of Jerusalem and Moshe Dayan inexplicably gives the Temple Mount back to the Muslims to control, fulfilling prophecy, by the way, which we talked about last week as well. 1967. Well, that's when they forced out the Palestinians, because they were there then. Oh, well, the Arabs, of which my family were a part of, left of their own volition. They left of their own volition. They didn't leave because they were forced out. When my parents immigrated legally to the United States in 1963, they then sponsored the rest of my family legally, and they immigrated from Jordan. My grandmother, my mom's mom, was born in Nazareth before statehood. And they're from Nazareth. They're Arabs, not Palestinians. And they left Israel, not Palestine, of their own accord. They were never forced out. Here's the truth. The land was barren. It was uninhabited. It was, in fact, a wasteland. Bennett of this writes, Arabs claim that Jews forced millions of Palestinian Arabs from the lands they had farmed for thousands of years. We know that prior to modern times, millions of Arabs never lived in Palestine. We also know that Arabs have not been around for thousands of years. Only the Jews had a continual presence in the land. Rather than being farmed by Arabs for thousands of years, it was a wasteland. Eminent writers and pilgrims of the Holy Land throughout the ages have left many written testimonies of the empty, barren wilderness. And historians report the same findings. He goes on to document these historians and speaks of and quotes the prolific American writer Mark Twain, who toured Palestine in 1867. Listen to what he wrote, and I quote, in The Innocents Abroad. "Come to Galilee, these unpeopled deserts, these rusty mounds of barrenness that never do shake the glare from their harsh outlines, that melancholy ruin of Capernaum. We reached Tabor safely. We never saw a human being on the whole route. Bethlehem and Bethany, in their poverty and their humiliation, have nothing about them now. The hallowed spot where the shepherds watched their flocks by night and where the angels sang, 'Peace on earth, goodwill to men,' is untenanted by any living creature. Bethsaida and Chorazin have vanished from the earth, and the desert places round about them sleep in a hush of a solitude that is inhabited only by birds of prey and skulking foxes. Stirring scenes occur in the valley of Jezreel no more. There is not a solitary village throughout its whole extent, not for 30 miles in either direction. Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes, desolate and unlovely. It is a dreamland." Citing a man by the name of Carl Hermann Voss in The Palestine Problem Today, Israel and Its Neighbors, Bennett writes, "In the 12 and a half centuries between the Arab conquest in the 7th century and the beginnings of the Jewish return in the 1880s, Palestine laid waste. Its ancient canal and irrigation systems were destroyed, and the wondrous fertility of which the Bible spoke vanished into desert and desolation." He also cites Gunner Edward Webb in the Palestine Exploration Fund quarterly statement, saying, "Nothing there to be seen but a little of the old walls," speaking of Jerusalem, "which is yet remaining, and all the rest is grass, moss, and weeds." Quoting a French poet from Netanyahu, A Place Among the Nations, Bennett writes, "Outside the gates of Jerusalem, we saw indeed no living object, heard no living sound. We found the same void, the same silence as we should have found before the entombed gates of Pompeii. A complete, eternal silence reigns in the town." Okay, so why do I bore you with all of these historic details concerning Palestine of old and Israel today? Because the historic illegitimacy of the Palestinian cause is coming back full circle today. And I'll explain why I say that and what I mean by that. The Palestinian myth that's gaining traction is fulfilling major Bible prophecy, specifically surrounding Jerusalem. I truly believe, and I mentioned this last year when Trump was elected president, I truly believed then, as I believe now even more so, that a President Trump will in fact speed up the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, not slow it down. And truly, his declaration of Jerusalem as Israel's capital seems to be bringing this to bear. What the Arabs are saying today about Jerusalem as Israel's capital is exactly what the Arabs were saying in the 1940s about Israel becoming a nation. Listen to this quote from the Saudi Arabian king Ibn Saud from this Life magazine article dated May 31st, 1943, 5 years before Israel's rebirth as a nation. Quote, "I know of nothing that justifies the Jewish claims in Palestine. I am not afraid of the Jews or of the possibility of their ever having a state or power either in the land of the Arabs," not the Palestinians, "Arabs, or elsewhere." And then he says this: "This is in accordance with what God," speaking of Allah, "has revealed unto us through the mouth of his prophet," speaking of Muhammad, "in his holy book," speaking of the Quran. Oh, wait. So the Quran has a prophecy, for lack of a better word, that states that Israel will never become a nation again? Oh. Where I come from, they call that a false prophet. Are we okay? Why are you looking at me like that? This is a false religion. I was preparing, I actually wrote a paragraph that I didn't incorporate into my notes today, but basically this was the gist of it. Islam is a satanically manufactured false religion, and the Palestinian cause is a satanically manufactured cause for the purpose of destroying God's people. They will not prevail. Oh, and by the way, on Thursday nights we're in the book of Esther, a most fascinating study. Chapters 3 and 4 last week, Lord willing, this Thursday we'll be in chapter 5. And there's so much typology. A type of the Antichrist, Haman, gets the king to issue an irrevocable verdict to destroy all and annihilate all of the Jews. But God raises up Esther for such a time as this. And she's a deliverer of her people. Isaiah says, "No weapon forged against you will prosper or prevail." They can manufacture all they want. They can come up with all of their plots, all of their plans. But you know what's interesting, and what we know to be true about Haman, that will be their fate. The very gallows that he builds to have Mordechai impaled on will be the very gallows that he himself will be impaled upon. And this is bearing true again, as they say, history is repeating itself. Here's the question that's before us, and I'll try to bring it in to a close here. Why does this really matter? What does all of this mean? Well, the reason this matters, whether you're in Kaneohe or Cairo, is because Jerusalem is the second hand on God's prophetic clock, and it's fast approaching midnight with each and every passing day. And as it does, many have believed and are deceived by the lie that Jerusalem doesn't belong to the Jew. And it will cost them their lives for all eternity. That's why. That's why it matters. Let me, if you'll just bear with me, I want you to think this through, okay? If Jerusalem doesn't belong to the Jew, then the Word of God and the God of the Word are not true. And if the Word of God and the God of the Word are not true, then we've been lied to. Right? God has an everlasting covenant with the Jew, right? And he also has a covenant with me and you too, right? So if the Palestinian cause were true, that would have to mean that God is a liar, or that God has broken his covenant with both the Jew and you and me too. If God is through with the Jew, I ask you, how secure are you? Because he has a covenant with you too. And what's to say that he's not going to be through with you too? If the covenant is no longer true, and here's the bottom line. If the covenant is no longer true, then Jesus is not and cannot be the way, the truth, and the life. And we better start ripping our Bibles and pages from our Bible out of our Bibles, God forbid. Like John 14:6. This seals the deal, doesn't it? Jesus said, listen, I am the way, not a way, the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You cannot get to the Father through Muhammad. He's a false prophet. He's not the truth. He's false. He's not the way. He's not the life. Only Jesus is. Jesus only. Only Jesus. Narrow is the road, the gate, that leads to everlasting life, and few go in. And wide is the gate that leads to eternal destruction, and many go therein. Are you in the few, or are you in the many?